Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to this special time as we celebrate something that changes reality more than any event in history. You could say that the incarnation, that the birth of God changes history, but it doesn't unless tonight happens. Unless the God-child born to redeem us gives that life as a sacrifice for us. And so we will do what the first song says. We will tell the story of Jesus tonight. And if we have taken it for granted because we've heard it so often, then may the Spirit soften our hearts and freshly convict us of the depth of the Father's love for us. If we sing a song you don't know, you can sit back and listen. This is a time to listen. So join me, though. If everyone listens, there won't be anything to listen to. So join me when you can as we sing some wonderful old songs and some new ones, and tell the story together. Let's start with "Tell Me the Story of Jesus."
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the angels in chorus, sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory
And of course, the story of the cross begins in the garden. "'Tis midnight and on Olive's brow." "'Tis midnight and on
Olive's brow.
Let us pray.
Abba, Father, we join with our older brother in coming before you and confessing that some of us are drinking cups we'd rather not drink right now, and pray for you to remove the anguish and the hurt and the trials and challenges from our lives. Yet even as your son prayed, we pray for your will to be done, for you to carry us through them, for us to testify to your grace and peace in the midst of them. Lord, we thank you for all that this night is about, for your spectacular love for us in pouring yourself out for us. Bless us in this time to be renewed in our gratitude, in our faith in you, Jesus, in you, Abba, Father, and in you, Spirit, being reminded that you considered each one of us worth coming after, leaving heaven to be one of us and then die as one of us. And so bless and anoint us this night. Bless all that have any part in it to be anointed with your Spirit. Bless all of us that our hearts be open to your movement and our lives be open to your love and grace. So we offer this time to you, asking you to move in it and be glorified by it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so, as we have for many years now, we read together the Passion of Christ from the Gospels woven together as our brothers and sisters represent us in reading, and we as the congregation will be the crowd, and we will voice parts in the reading as well. And so I invite the chorus and the readers to come up, and we will begin our reading of the Passion of Jesus Christ on this Good Friday evening.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said to them,
"My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch."
Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him.
"Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will."
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping.
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak."
He went away a second time and prayed,
"My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done."
When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer."
Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them,
"Who is it that you want?"
"Jesus of Nazareth."
"I am he."
Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them,
"Who is it you want?" "I told you that I am he. If you're looking for me, then let these men go."
This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?"
Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised them that it was better that one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. The girl at the door asked Peter,
"I am not."
It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him,
"I have spoken openly to the world. Always I taught in the synagogues or at the temple where all the people can come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said."
When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face and said,
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
"If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked,
"I am not."
One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Then the Jewish leaders led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked,
"What charges are you bringing against this man?"
They replied and said to him,
"If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you."
"Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law."
This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?"
"Am I a Jew? It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?"
"My kingdom is not from this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place."
"You are a king then?"
"You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, it's for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
"What is truth?"
With this, Pilate went out again to the Jews and said,
"I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?"
"No, not him. Give us Barabbas."
Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jewish leaders and people,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him."
When Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them,
"Here is the man."
As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted,
"Crucify! Crucify!"
"You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him."
"We have a law, and according to that law, we must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace.
"Where do you come from?"
But Jesus gave him no answer.
"Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?"
"You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting,
"You let this man go. You are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar."
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stove Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. He said to them,
"Here is your king."
But they shouted,
"Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!"
"Shall I crucify your king?"
"We have no king but Caesar,"
answered the chief priests. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. The soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here, they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle.
Thank you.
Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jewish people read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. They said to one another,
"Let's not tear it. Let's decide by lot who will get it."
This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. But the other criminal rebuked him.
"Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom."
"I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise."
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to Yahweh, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near him heard this, they said, one man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
Thank you.
The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said,
"Surely this man was the Son of God."
O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayers come before you. Incline your ears to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain lying in the grave, like those whom remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions of dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You overwhelm me with your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of the forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayers come before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death, from my youth up, I suffer your terror. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides, they close in on me. You have caused friends and neighbors to shun me. My companions are in darkness.
Liberation. And the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The one who saw it has given testimony, and this testimony is true. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones was broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
It is a humbling honor and privilege to read the scripture at this evening's service. Please follow along with me as I read from Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12.
See, my servant shall prosper, and he shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which he had not told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken. God's struck down by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. May God bless this reading from his holy and inspired word.
As Isaiah has just told us so profoundly, our iniquities and transgressions are upon the shoulders of Jesus as he dies upon the cross. Now let us embrace that noble truth with this prayer of confession from the Book of Common Prayer. Please pray, read along with me. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned by our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, Lord. We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives. We confess to you, Lord, our self-indulgent appetites and ways and our exploitation of other people. We confess to you, Lord, our anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. We confess to you, Lord, our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts and our dishonesty in daily life and work. We confess to you, Lord, our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to commend the faith that is in us to others. We confess to you, Lord. Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. Accept our repentance, Lord, for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. Accept our repentance, Lord. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Favorably hear us, for your mercy is great. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation, that we may show forth your glory in the world. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord, transform our lives and make us instruments of peace. Amen. As powerful a prayer as that is, we can hold it at a distance and just say words. And now is a time in our service where you have the opportunity, no one is under compulsion to do so, but to be more personal in your reaching out to God, in confessing, in calling out to Him. There are pieces of parchment at the end of your rows, if you could pass those down. Now is a time, if there's something you've been struggling with, a sin you want forgiveness of, and cleansing, and renewal, and breaking free of the chains, now is a time to write that confession out to the Lord. As if He was here, He is here, listening to you. And in a poignant metaphor or parable, I urge you to bring that forward and nail it to this cross, because it is as truly on the cross with Jesus at Calvary as it will be when you nail it on this. Or maybe it's a cry for help in a relationship, for guidance, some kind of articulation of a cry to the Lord that you want to make tonight, that the Spirit puts on your heart. It's an opportunity to put on there. And I pledge every year those, no one will read those, and they will go up in a fiery flame of sacrifice in my backyard barbecue pit tomorrow for the Lord's reading only. So take advantage of this time. We'll sing a few songs as we go through this. And like I said, there's no requirement that you do this, but we just make this time available to personalize the sacrifice that's so easy to take for granted, but so astounding in its truth. First, let us pray. Lord, even as those horns sound outside, you know there is chaos in some of our hearts. You know that we've come here tonight seeking your peace when we don't feel it, but Lord, we know that you are real. We know that your sacrifice happened. We know that your blood suffices for anything in our lives, that your life suffices for no matter how many times we do the wrong thing and turn our backs on you, your blood suffices for every broken piece of our lives. And so, Lord, we bring before you now our brokenness and ask you to wash us with your blood, to cleanse us with the power of your life and death, to make us new, new every morning by the Spirit you have placed within us. Spirit, guide us now. You know where each one of us is in our journey. Speak to us, nudge us, comfort us. Bless us in this time that we hand to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
I should also say that there's a bucket of tough masonry nails at the end for you to take with you, if you like, after you use a sharp nail to remind you of the nails that were used for Christ. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll call on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Yes, when I cannot stand, I'll call on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God.
like Jerusalem, Lord, you have wept over me in my moments of weakness and loss. I had nothing to give, so you offered your grace and your love and your Son and the cross. I am loved by you. I am loved by you. Though I stumble and fall, in spite of it all, I am loved. I am loved by you. And what I could not bear, you took as your own. All the slander that should have been mine. And by taking my place, my redemption is sealed by your will, by your hand, by design. I am loved by you. I am loved by you. Though I stumble and fall, in spite of it all, I am loved. I am loved by you. And no power below, no power above, can separate us from your love. No power below, no power above, can separate us from your love. I am loved by you. I am loved by you. Though I stumble and fall, in spite of it all, I am loved. I am loved by you. Though I stumble and fall, in spite of it all, I am loved. I am loved by you.
Please pray with me. Dearest, most loving Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight with immense gratitude for the way you love us and show us how to live. Thank you, Jesus, for the unfathomable intimacy we experience in relationship with you and for the glimpses into your pure and faithful heart, which heals us time and time again. Thank you for coming to walk with us, to hold us, to protect us, and call us back to you when we lose our way. No matter what we have done to hurt others or to hurt ourselves, you hear our cries for forgiveness and fill us with your peace, your tender mercy, your powerful love. You cried tears of such sorrow while we slept. Our sins pierced your body, and you gave us your forgiveness in return. We look up, Jesus, and we see you there on the cross, and we cannot breathe. We see what our sin looks like. Yet with every drop of your precious blood, you are healing us, asking us to love one another, to forgive one another. You are silencing our fears and dissolving our anguish and despair. Without you, Lord, we are utterly alone in the darkness, searching for light we shall never find, because you and only you are the way, the truth, and the eternal light of the world. Thank you, Jesus, Prince of Peace, for your touch, your gaze, and your words which pass through time and space and invite us into your heart, the heart of your Father, again and again. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand and proclaim to one another one last time. How deep is the Father's love for us?